Welcome to Horror Movies with TNA. Each episode, we're going to pick a film, talk about it, and rate it. Word of warning, there will be spoilers. This week, we're talking about...
Humanoids from the Deep.
Chuck Wood. He's got a very good bowl head, hasn't he? A fishy motherfucker. Okay. Hello, humanoids of the deep. Humanoids of the deep. Do you prefer a short-armed humanoid or a very long-armed humanoid?
I believe the only type of humanoid you can get is...
Humanoids of the deep. I noticed, because this is a humanoid, obviously we've got Chud, cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller, and then we've got Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Well, Randy, humanoid, underwater dweller. So who would win in a death match? A Chud or a Rudd?
A Rudd.
It's an exploitation overload.
I mean, it's a fun film, but it...
It's a fun film.
I wouldn't call it problematic.
I think it was aimed at a target audience at the time in the 80s, wasn't it?
There's a lot of boobies in it.
Yes. These Randy Fishmen.
Yeah.
These damn Randy Fishmen.
These humanoids from the deep really want to go in deep.
This is Humanoids from the Deep, based on a story originally titled Beneath the Darkness, also known as Monster as well in Europe.
But yeah, there was a version called Monster, I think, on YouTube as well, which I was told that was the uncut version, but I'm pretty damn sure we watched the uncut version anyway.
Yeah, I think it was the uncut one. Produced by Mr. Corman.
Yes.
Directed by Barbara Peters and Jimmy Murakami, although I think Barbara Peters left the project before it finished because Roger Corman didn't think... There was enough sleaze in it, so he left it with Murakami and James Spardaletti to finish the project and spice things up. She had previously directed episodes of Matt Houston, Remington Steele, lots of American TV. Apparently he wasn't quite happy with the way the project was going, so Barbara left. Funnily enough...
Retrospectively, he doesn't seem to say that.
No, well, maybe not. Interestingly, Jimmy Murakami had a hand in making the Snowman cartoon.
What, the British?
Yeah, the Raymond Christmas. Briggs.
Oh, right.
Cartoon, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so they stepped in to spice it up unnecessarily a little bit more.
Well, again, it might have been... I don't know what he did. I wonder whether it was the sex bit rather than the gore, because there's quite a bit of gore in it.
He really was happy with the gore, he said, I read. Oh, but there wasn't enough of the boobies. Kind of exploitive element. No. So the other two guys were left to finish the project.
Yeah,
anyway.
It does feel out of place, to be quite honest, in the film. In a way, I knew it got a notorious, you know,
element.
Win. Yeah, yeah, so element, it kind of piqued my interest where maybe I wouldn't have watched it. So, you know,
So there you go. Its music was by James Horner, who's obviously quite a famous... I think he won Oscars for the Titanic.
To be honest, his best music is from Aliens, and there's bits in here that sound a little tiny little bit like Aliens as well.
Who's in the film? We've got Doug McClure as Jim Hill. He did Land That Time Forgot, People That Time Forgot.
Did he do Warlords of Atlantis as well?
Yes, as well, yeah. And if you look at the front cover of all three of them films, they're all very him bare-chested, battling various enemies. We've got Turkle as Dr. Susan Drake.
She's fucking terrible.
She is very bad.
Well, she's very wooden in this. I think I've seen her in other films and she's not been as bad, but in this, you know.
She's particularly awful.
Yeah, I mean, me saying fucking terrible sounds quite harsh, but it's very accurate.
She was in lots of American TV shows as well, and she was married to Richard Harris. So
right.
I have to say, throughout this film, I thought both the script and the acting were fucking shocking.
Yeah, it seemed like they'd got an idea for a film and then sort of made it up as it went along.
Built shoddy scripts around it.
Like, you've got Vic Morrow in it as well.
Bit of a tragic story as Hank Slattery. Of course, he was killed during the filming of Twilight Zone when a helicopter dropped on him and two children.
Well, so. I was going to say, well, he plays a Nazi kind of git in this. And in the Twilight Zone, he plays a racist kind of Nazi.
Yeah, it's quite racist. Yeah, and, he's...
and the whole idea is that. But yeah, I mean, God, you could do five episodes about the Twilight Zone.
Yes. Anthony Penner as Johnny Eagle. He was in Megaforce, The Running Man, Porky's 2, and Born on the 4th of July. Johnny Eagle.
Quite a mixture of films there.
A mixed bag. I didn't write anybody else. Oh, I'll get to it later. The ventriloquist comedian who's later on in one of the scenes.
Oh, is he an actual comedian in real life? Yeah, I got that feeling because he wasn't an actor.
No.
Or a very good ventriloquist.
You can say that again. The movie begins. Dramatic music. Up pops the movie title in vivid red. Humanoid from the deep.
Or monster.
Noya is a busy fishing village, famous for its salmon fishing. We've got scenes at the beginning of a busy industrial...
They're quite good, actually. They're sort of like a montage of a normal day in the life of this small fishing village. The bit I liked was the Labrador walking past the camera for no apparent reason. There's no lead, not on a lead or anything, you're just walking across the road. I just went, oh, nice.
And dogs are featured in the film.
Well, at first, I was laughing about it, and then I thought, oh, yeah, now I get why the dog's got a starring role walking across the frame.
Jim Hill and his brother Tommy are talking. I found the, I don't know if it was dubbed, or I couldn't work it out.
Definitely
it's
dubbed.
In places, it's really awful.
Yeah, no, I think they must have dubbed it on afterwards because they're like walking down the jetty and they must have had problems with the noise level. So there's like bits going, hey, you.
It feels slightly out of sync and it's kind of weird. They're talking about how it's hardly worth going out anymore. Kind of backstory there that the fish aren't as plentiful as they used to be.
Yeah, it's all about the salmon.
It's all about the salmon. We're introduced to various fishermen, Deke and his family. Then we get introduced to Hank Slattery, who's a bit of a bigot, played by Vic Moreau, we've already mentioned. And then there's Johnny Eagles. So there's a plan to build a cannery. It's going to support the fishermen, but Johnny Eagle, it's on kind of Indian land, so he's fighting against that. And there's a bit of a conflict between the fishermen and the Indian community there.
Yeah, I'm glad you're getting over this plot.
Yes, let's get through it. So Johnny Eagle and Hank Slattery are at loggerheads throughout the film, although they do come together towards the end in quite an emotional...
Well, like I say, Hank Slattery, who is played by Vic Moreau, does play a racist again, and very well. Be honest, out of all the actors, Vic's giving it his all, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think he's probably the best. Because I have to say, I thought Doug McClure as Jim, our main lead, is pretty awful.
Well, again, you think about his other films he's been in, it's about the same, really.
Yeah, I'll come to it later. He's got a weird way of a weird acting. I think it's the kind of dubbed overlay doesn't help with it as well. So the cannery plans are in the area that look set to put even more strain on the community anyway. So we've set that up anyway. Fuck it.
Fuck that. That's what's known as a fucking plot.
fucking plot.
But it means nothing. But it's just background to Humanoids from the Deep.
So there's conflict between the fishermen and the Native Americans, of which Johnny Eagle represents. Deke Jensen and his family are out on the water. This is a calamity. Nobody's paying attention. Health and safety have a field day on this one.
Right.
It's like a scene from Frank Spencer.
Well, this is what I'm saying. That's right. The kid's fucking useless is what I've written down here.
He's reading his comic. He's not paying attention. The gasoline in the winch is empty, so they can't... Because they start getting a catch.
So,
they can't use the winch.
The kid's not done that. Fucking useless. And then when he starts doing it, pours a fucker everywhere.
And then there's no oil pressure as well in the engine of the boat as well. So, and also the sun, he spills fuel all over the boat. The sun gets pulled in as well. And then a flare goes off and the whole boat goes up. So it's a fucking
shit show
from start to finish.
Yeah. To be honest though, at least the kid gets killed.
Yeah, it's a fucking catalogue of errors.
He's a knob knocker.
Jim and Tommy witness the explosion. Already we can see Doug McClure flexing his acting muscle. I wrote that. Hank, the local sheriff, he's useless throughout the film. Already suspects that Johnny Eagle has something to do with this, because basically Johnny Eagle, all the village, decide that he's to blame for everything. And obviously Hank jumps on this theory as well. Eagle's trying to drive... Well, hang on, what have I put here? Eagle's trying to drive cannery... Okay, yeah, Johnny Eagle's trying to drive the cannery development... I've gone to town on this whole backstory, you know. So Johnny Eagle's trying to drive the cannery developers away. That's why they think they've blown the boat up. And Doug disagrees. There's more to it. The dogs are spooked. And we get the first bit of a glimpse at the fucking humanoids. And they let the dog out. And the dog goes sniffing around. You kind of see it from the point of view of the dog.
Yeah,
as he
Baron.
Goes. Yes.
He gets strangulated.
Yeah, he gets shook around. It's just somebody shaking a real dog, isn't it?
No
dogs were harmed in the filming of this film, I don't
think. The humanoid thing had sex with the dog, but no real harm.
No, just got bummed. So that's the first slight glimpse we get of the humanoid as it shakes the dog. And then next day, they find the dog dead. And actually, all the other dogs, except for Johnny Eagle's dog, have all been killed overnight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Jim and Carol follow a trail of fishman semen, leads them to Baron, all dead. Oh, he's dead.
And he's covered in man muck. Oh, sorry. Humanoid muck. And they do find humanoid spunk on the bin as well.
They find a lot of splurge, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, bin... Or trash can.
For our five American listeners.
Yeah.
Jumps.
Five? Yeah, and then they follow the trail into a forest. And what would have been great is the humanoid would have been at the end of it, knocking one out.
There is a jump scare where Carol, Jim's wife, looks in Baron's kennel and a cat jumps out. Bit of a jump scare.
No.
You're not having that as a jump scare?
No, because it's... Did it make you jump?
She slowly approaches the kennel. Oh. Out comes the cat. Oh. Boom. So, you've got yourself your first jump scare.
What noise does a cat make?
Wow.
No, I haven't got myself a jump scare.
A trump scare?
A trump scare.
Hank Slattery, the bigot, the racist, has decided it's Johnny Eagle again. This heightened tension, it heightens it further. Anyway... The very recent death of four fishermen, including one child, seems to be forgotten as everyone arrives for the hoedown at the 75th Noyo Salmon Festival.
It's a salmon festival, by the way, everyone.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, that's their living. That's what everything...
Well, yeah, but what do you do at a salmon festival?
You celebrate the salmon.
Well, I'll tell you what you do, and I know you're going to get annoyed because I'm jumping. You have a massive scrap.
Oh, yeah, there's a big fight.
Yeah.
This was one of the first times where there's a weird exchange between, I think it must be the mayor and Jim, when they first rock up, and Jim says, I've just lost my dog. Doug McClure's not really, the camera doesn't really bother following him.
I wonder where the dog
meant to
was...
be.
Pissed out his tiny mind, you know.
It's like he's meant to be the central point of the scene, but he's off to one side just talking, mumbling. It's weird. Hank and his cronies rock up, drunk, out to stir up a whole bunch of trouble. The festival is the first time we get to meet Dr. Susan. I thought she was like a marine biologist, but she's obviously sidelined in, as we learn at the end of the film, in midwifery or something. I don't, she's a doctor, but she's an expert in fishes.
And yeah, well, she's the one that's come up with, I mean, I don't know, did you say this in the plot? The other bit of the plot is they can't get a lot of salmon, so they brought this...
Yeah, there's a shortage of salmon, so as
Dr.
part of...
Susan,
yeah,
whatever.
As part of them building this cannery, they're kind of selling the idea to the villagers that they brought the president... And I'm going to talk about these three people. We've got the president of Canco Cannery, Charles Board. He must be on the board. Special assistant, Mr. James Edwards. He's fucking terrible. And Dr. Susan Drake. And they're all here to reassure the villagers that they're going to, as a result of the cannery being in the area, the fish will once again be plentiful.
Yeah.
Dr. Charles Board is an amazing public speaker, so he talks to everybody at the festival. He kind of talks like an 8-year-old. But he reassures the town, yeah, that the cannery will be a good thing. And he introduces the Doctor as a great little scientist.
Well, yeah, well, and also she says we're making super salmon.
Super salmon?
I mean, that doesn't mean that they're going to shag a lot.
Randy Salmon?
He's a great wrestler.
Johnny Eagle's dog's been killed. Because I think there's a suggestion that I think Hank Slattery killed Johnny Eagle's dog. Because he wasn't happy that Johnny Eagle's dog was the only one that hadn't been killed by the Randy Merman.
I mean, this is a scene and a half, isn't it? Fucking up. So you've got a major event happening and he just walks in with his dead dog.
Well, it interrupts the festival.
And actually, it looks like a real dog. I'm sure they didn't kill a real dog, but obviously...
They probably did. Probably did. Probably killed a dog.
The dog was play acting, I hope.
Okay, so Johnny Eagle turns up and challenges Hank Slattery because his dog's been killed. So they drag Johnny Eagle into the car park and it results in a brawl. It's not exactly Terence Hill and Bud Spencer, is it? It's the weakest bunch of people pretending to fight. Jim Hill, our lead, sticks up for Johnny Eagle, actually, in this situation. He doesn't quite agree with what Johnny Eagle's trying to do in terms of stopping the cannery, but he doesn't like Johnny Eagle being picked on by the other fishermen.
No.
So we've got this punch-up.
But there is a bit, and I've just said, I don't know, remember who it was, but I've just gone, a bloke just absolutely runs up and just jumps at them. He just sort of like jumps over them.
But as a scene, it's marvellous.
It, to be honest, if you've seen, Hong Kong movies, it's choreography.
It's a combination of Jackie Chan and Jackie Collins having a fight, isn't it? I mean, I make my notes and I just wrote god awful.
Yes, it's padding. And it's a very short film.
It's
79 minutes, yeah, 80 minutes.
Barely 80 minutes. I suppose the only thing this serves to do is it sets out a bit of an alliance between Jim Hill and Johnny Eagle.
Yeah, I mean, the point is, this film tries to do a TV movie plot with rapey fish salmon blokes.
Right, kids making out on the beach. For some reason, they start wading into quite deep water, but they're fooling around anyway. Yeah, you saw them.
There's been about 20 minutes and you think, fucking hell, this is dragging. And then from now onwards, it's fine. And especially the last 10 minutes is ace, I think. But the point is, for an 80-minute film, it does feel longer, but it makes up for it towards the end. To be honest, it becomes like a disaster film towards the end as well. I'm jumping to the end, fuck it.
Okay, so there's kids falling around on the beach and they go wandering off. We switch to Jim out on the water with Dr. Drake. Although I wrote...
Dr. Dre.
I did write Dr. Dre. And Mr. Board.
They've all got body warmers. I need to get one.
Gilet.
Yeah, well, you know, like off Back to the Future that Michael J.
Marty has.
Orange.
Yeah.
What is that like, that look? Do you think it suits me?
They're out on the water. They're trying to catch fish. And it's just this ongoing thing, which I'll keep coming back to, where Jim or Doug McClure isn't really acting to the camera. He's just muttering off to one side about being suspicious of the Doctor. Anyway, let's get back to the teenagers.
Well, no, let's get back to whether you think I'd look nice in an orange gilet.
I think you look nice in anything, Tony. that's it.
Are you going to mention the T-shirt I'm wearing?
Tony's sporting a brand new T-shirt with a Suspiria design on it. It looks very nice. It really shows off his...
Nips.
Pecs! The teenagers that are canoodling, anyway, they go off wandering and the boy pretends they're kind of wading in deepish water and the boy pretends to be attacked, but then is attacked.
That's quite good. He's like dragged away, so they must have put like a rope around his leg.
Yes, so initially he tries to trick her and pretend he's being attacked, but then he is yanked away from her, and then when she approaches him, he turns, and I thought... And the effects, not of the merman, is done by Rob Bottin, isn't it? The effects are quite good.
Yeah.
He's had his face torn away. Yeah. Really, I thought it was quite good, the effects on that.
He gets his face fucked and then someone else gets fucked.
They all get fucked.
You can all get fucked.
Okay. So the girl, on discovering him, screams and is pursued. One, I will say one of the strengths of the film initially is that you don't get to see much of the fishmen.
And then you see shitloads.
And then you see loads of them, but at least it kind of leaves that to towards the end. So for 80 minutes, you don't kind of see them that much. But I suppose this is the first of the exploitative scenes. This first scene of the rape is mercifully short. This is about half an hour in. He grabs her and throws her to the ground, and then it kind of cuts away. And actually, they all... I'm that keen on any of them, but they all are quite, just very quite fleeting shots, aren't they? Where they kind of grab the woman. But I think later on, they kind of purposefully tear their tops off and stuff like that, which is probably the worst bit. But
I mean, look, it's notorious for these bits in it. I mean, if it was about the gore, it's not that gory. It would have never got banned, I don't think.
I know, it's too silly a film. The idea is the fishmen are raping the women.
I can't remember why. Was there a reasoning why they're trying to...
Literally, because how quickly they've evolved, they just want to mate.
To be honest, you know, the doctor saying...
For survival.
They're super salmon, and they're built to reproduce.
They're super salmon. I cannot defend it, so let's skip past it. Let's move on. Hank and the other fishermen are plotting. They know that Johnny Eagle is looking to hire a big shot city lawyer to fight against the fishing cannery on the Indian land. We'll take care of Johnny and his people, or we'll have no cannery. Next day, back on the boat with Jim and Tommy. Okay, switches back to them on the water. And then we see this scene where there's a tent on the beach. And this is where we have Billy, played by David Strassman, who's a ventriloquist comedian. In real life. With his dummy of... Well, actually, he had an act where his dummy was Chuck Wood and Ted E. Bear was his other.
Fuck's sake.
And he's in the tent with Becky. I just wrote, what the fuck?
It's massively gratuitous because he's like talking her into bed with his dummy and she just gets totally naked.
Yeah.
Well,
he
says,
so Chuck Wood... I'm going to go with the dummy's talking here, says, do you want to see my woodpecker? And she replies, will I get splinters? So what do you think about... Well, not what do you think about that. How does that grab you?
I don't mind the joke. It's just the way she gets her...
Knockers out.
Well, yeah, it's just a bit over the top. I mean, look, I'm a red-blooded male, so, you know, I don't mind it, but it seemed unnecessary.
It's all unnecessarily, isn't it? Humanoid rips through the tent and Billy's back, which is a bit gruesome. And then the assault of Becky...
Well, hang on, rewind a little bit, because she runs off, doesn't she? And you think, oh, where are they? She gets out of the tent.
Oh, yes, well...
Very strangely filmed, this.
She's against a quite a light background. She's... Like almost like a silhouette.
Yeah, so you can't quite make... Luckily, you can't quite make...
So she runs away, and essentially she runs into the arms of a Randy Fishman.
She runs towards the camera. You think she might have noticed that?
She was looking behind her at the...
What, constantly?
The fishman in the tent. Oh, she was hysterical.
It's bollocks.
Even though they're short, they don't leave anything to the imagination, so... It's not great. Right, let's move away from that. So Tommy and Linda have gone for dinner with Johnny Eagle. Hank turns up with his hoons and petrol bombs Johnny Eagle's shack.
Yeah, I mean, fuck me. I mean,
it goes up.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you're a bit annoyed at him and he's, you know...
It's the only way to stop Johnny Eagle.
Well, yeah, blow the shit
Hank
out of
Slattery.
His house.
Hank Slattery, fucking hell, what are you doing, man? Anyway, so Johnny Eagle's his cabin's been petrol bombed by Slattery and his fucking Muppets. Do you know what? I'm getting quite passionate about this. Meanwhile, fishmen have started to turn up.
Yeah, it doesn't rain, but it pours, doesn't it?
Well, Johnny Eagle and Tommy are trying to put out the blaze. And then, to add to that, the fishmen start to turn up.
And what's the name of the lady they're with?
Linda. Linda drives off to get out, so we'll get to Linda in a second. Yeah. Tommy gets dragged off the jetty by a humanoid and thrashes around for a bit in a dramatic scene with dramatic music. It's a bore fest, I thought.
Well, also, he gets his head twatted multiple times.
Oh, yeah. Well, Johnny Eagle chucks a lump of wood at the rudd. Hits his big fat brain with a bloody squelch. So Tommy is saved, but he's been injured. He's been, had a scrape on his face, and holy shit.
Well, and his head twatted.
Poor old Tommy. Tommy is the brother of Jim. Remember that?
No.
Okay. Back with Linda in the truck, because she's gone off to get help because of the blazing cabin. And a humanoid attacks. It clings to the roof. And when she steps on the brakes, it flies off the top of the truck. It rolls across the road. Now, for some reason, when the fishman is meant to be getting up, they just play the footage of him rolling in reverse to kind of show him. You probably didn't notice that, but for the life of me, why didn't they just have the actor... No, not the actor, fucking hell. The humanoid. Why didn't they just have the humanoid getting up? But instead they just played him revert.
Then she
puts her foot on the gas and runs over it. Then I don't know if that back window in the truck has got a name, but the back window in the truck, a humanoid breaks through and grabs hold of her. And unfortunately she careers off a bridge and...
In a massive explosion.
Yes.
That same shot is used in a number of Roger Corman films.
What, the same?
Yes, the same.
Well, so he just reuses that stock footage.
Yeah. But at least they filmed it. I was going to research and I thought, I don't.
What was it originally from?
I don't get the ghost to do the cunt. I don't care.
We'll do some research on that.
Right. Stop. Well, I obviously won't. But, well, I did enough research to know that it's a shot that he uses in multiple films.
I've got a life, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the last thing I want to be doing is spending me evening talking about this fucking rotten stinker. Jim, Dr. Susan Drake and Johnny Eagle go in search of answers and Randy Fish.
I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it?
She says, get off your antique manners, Hill. I'm a professional scientist. They go off in search anyway of the fishmen.
This bit's a bit unusual because it's all done in... broad daylight, and you do see quite a lot of the fish.
Again, apologies, Susan Drake. The script and the acting is awful between her and Jim Hill. Terrible. At one point, she says, I thought I heard something under there. And then she says, I said I thought I heard something. Anyway, Jim, Doc and Johnny find the fishmen. I think it's meant to be their base or their nest or their hangout. Probably their hangout.
Well, it's a bit weird because they're just lying on the beach with a bit of seaweed over them.
Yeah, there's...
I mean, they've got a few mates around there, you know.
They're just chilling out. They find the base. It's not a base. And we get a good view of them at last. And they are not great.
No. I think at the end, where it's a bit dark, they get away with some of the effects of the fishmen. During the day, not so much.
It doesn't hold up. Actually, this is the first time we get to see the humanoids with the big long arms as well.
I know.
The big...
Yeah, you can tell that the humanoid people that are playing them have obviously got their arms, their actual arms, and then they're grabbing like a pole to extend their arms. I'm not sure why they went with... You know what would make these look better? They have fucking massive arms.
They have really long arms, but I assume they just used actors with really big long arms. They find Peggy from earlier in the film, who had unfortunately been assaulted by one of the fishmen, still alive. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah,
move on.
Yeah. It makes me think...
Not much.
But it makes me think that daylight bit was a reshoot and the very end was a reshoot. Because you don't need either of those scenes to make the film all right. But,
there's a good 50 minutes you didn't need. Back at the lab, we've got this slowly tracking scene in the lab of jars of preserved animals to really, really weird, beautiful music. Horner. Go on, James. Go on! They have a humanoid dead that they can examine. So this is some of the... I bullet-pointed this.
Oh.
The doctor says this is a new species. Gills on the head. She believes the habitat is the water and it's amphibious. I mean, you don't have to be Dr. Susan Drake to work that out. It's got a big ass cranium, so it's got tremendous brain capacity. But she says it, but it's still fucking thick.
Well, I mean, and also, I'm sorry, the doctor's very calm all the time, mainly because I think Anne Turkle's on weed most of the time. I don't know. Sorry, Anne. But if you remember, while they're on the beach and they find
the den,
she's taking photos all the time while it's all kicking off. She's quite calm. She's taking loads of photos and goes, It's a fucking great fish bloke there.
Yeah, who approaches at one point and has to be shot. Yeah, she's very calm.
She's still taking photos. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's a scientist. She's a damn good scientist.
Scientist and a gynecologist and, you know.
Yeah.
What's it called when you...
Midwifery. She's a midwifery.
I don't know what you're saying.
It's got webbed hands as well. That was my final bullet point. I mean, anybody can see all that shit. This is the first chance we get to...
He's a fishy fucker, for fuck's sake.
A fishy motherfucker. Okay. First chance to hear Kanko's James Edwards. He's terrible. Look at it, Edwards. It's right in front of you, you stupid ass. She shouts at him. Science time. DNA 5 stimulates growth hormone. Using this process on salmon, tidal surges tore open a tank, releasing a shedload of DNA-treated salmon. And this is essentially what's caused this.
I mean, that's what happens, mate, you know.
So remember DNA 5. Didn't they use 4 or 3?
I've also written what she says while she's doing the autopsy, which is half-assed autopsy. Reference to Jaws. Because he says, I'm not going to do a half-assed autopsy.
Oh, right.
The jetty.
Wow. Okay.
When they think in Jaws where they've got the actual shark and Richard Dreyfuss, Hooper goes, the gob's too small.
He doesn't say gob.
And that's what they were going to call it, gob, rather than Jaws.
So
we're not going to do a half-assed autopsy here.
Let's review the film, Jaws.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Get it full. Right. Anyway, yeah, so that explains exactly what's caused this.
I reckon Edwards was redubbed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything about him didn't seem right.
Yeah, I think they decided he couldn't act and they went, well, just redub him that with an equally mad person.
Jim asks, yeah, but why the girls? And the doc says, it's my theory is that these creatures are Randy. Despite people missing and multiple deaths and dogs are dying, Noya's putting on a brave face. And here we go to the festival. There's a marching band and a fair. Everybody's out. Noise not messing around. This looks amazing. So this is the festival.
This is good.
I like this. What do you think of Madman Mike Michaels of K-Fish Radio?
It's confusing because it doesn't seem like the person on the screen is the same one that keeps coming over the radio or the tannoy.
But I like him. We've got the festival. We keep switching back to Carol at home, who's Jim's wife, with her baby, and we'll...
By the way, the festival is Salmon Fest.
Yes, Salmon Fest.
Yeah.
Humanoid...
And we've all had one of those.
Okay, so we've got the whole town is there, rightly so, because this is an absolutely fantastic occasion. Humanoids arrive at the fair, not been invited.
I know. I thought this was good, because rather than, like, clamber out the beach or, you know, they start bursting up through the jetties again... I don't think that's... He is now, I'm thinking.
Okay, so Johnny Eagle, Jim and the Doctor turn up and they turf out a humanoid for the villagers to look at. And they're looking at that and everybody's kind of panicking.
Oh, we're believing her.
All of a sudden, through the jetty or the pier or whatever we want to call it, the humanoids burst out.
Yeah.
This is, of course, the most entertaining part of the film, as the rest of it stinks. Like a fish or a Randy Merman. Like a fish or a Randy Fish. Merman. Hank Slattery and his goons turn up as well. And he's his usual charming self. On the hour, shit goes down as sex-starved fishmen descend upon the town.
Well, ascend, I'd say. Because they're coming out of the water.
Well,
going on.
Yeah, that's a good point. So sex-starved fishmen ascend upon... Yeah, but ascend upon. Ascend...
Fuck them.
Up the town.
Yeah, right up the... Right literally up. Sometimes.
So this is an hour where we've then got 20 minutes of adrenaline-fueled hijinks.
Well, except for when it cuts back to Carol in the...
Yeah, it keeps
thing,
switching
yeah.
back to her at home.
It pays off that bit in the end.
Humanoids arrive. During the carnage, it keeps returning back to Carol at home with the baby as a humanoid with Spike Milligan long arms lurks around outside the cabin. So let me see if I can go through some of the key points. Generally, there's families at this fair, so everybody's kind of running here and there and everywhere as the humanoids. I've got here, so we've got one guy gets his throat ripped out. That's quite bloody.
Lots of blood squirting out.
Yeah. Another Noya guy gets his head pulled off. originally this was cut, from what I read, except for the Japanese version, which was always remained intact.
I mean, it's not that. The worst bits earlier on. So I wonder why that was.
The...
Well, probably the back. No, the
face. Yeah.
This is, I mean, it's not that great an effect. It's pretty good, but it's, you know, you don't see any worse in other films, I guess.
Huh? Madman Mike Michaels of K-Fish Radio gets his chest exposed, and so does the woman. But yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's the most obvious bit of exploitation. Yeah, she's wandering around in a bikini, and you think, right, okay.
And then the fisherman almost intentionally tries to rip her top off.
Doesn't yeah, he? Doesn't, he Which, doesn't.
Well,
really
he doesn't try.
Like,
he does.
He rips her top off.
Well, no, unfortunately, Madman Mike Michaels of K-Fish Radio doesn't manage to defend her, and he dies. Okay, there's lots of shooting of various fishmen, which is kind of boring. Hey. One ends up getting his squidgy head bashed in, and then another fishman gets surrounded by the villagers. Yes. And it reminded me of Halloween Kills.
I quite liked it.
Or it was reminiscent of Shaun of the Dead when they were all standing around that zombie, circling him, bashing him.
Yes.
Hank Slattery saves a child, and
that's
then Johnny Eagle.
Vic Morrow's character.
Hank Slattery.
Hank Slattery tries to redeem himself from being an absolute racist bastard with Johnny Eagle. So there's a little kid. I mean, generally this kid could have just climbed up this bloody bit of...
He was hanging off the pier.
Well, yeah, it sounds...
Oh, yeah, because one of the humanoids had pushed one of the stanchions away and it had all collapsed.
It all collapsed. And also one of the humanoids starts grabbing this little kid as well. But then, for whatever reason, Hank, again, it's probably meant to be a bit of redemption, jumps down and pushes the kid up. And Johnny Eagle's there to help as well, so there you go.
And begrudgingly, Hank is saved by Johnny Eagle. Yeah. It never plays out beyond that. Well, at one point, it kind of grabs onto his leg, doesn't it? And
then
Johnny Eagle
fair,
jumps in and shoots the humanoid.
But we all wanted to see Hank get his come up!
Jim and the Doc have, with little consultation, decided to cover the bay in gasoline and set fire to it. When they shoot a flare into it, the coated water really goes up, which it doesn't really. So we see the townsfolk continue to see off the remaining fishmen. They kind of fight back. Oh, it's amazing. Final scene sees Jim returning to the cabin to help Carol and see off the final two humanoids. At one point, Carol repeatedly stabs at a fisherman's fishy heart in a frenzy.
Yeah, that's great. It goes mental, that bit.
Yes.
I mean, that bit I hate in any film where they have parallel jeopardy. You should always just concentrate on one.
It keeps flicking between the two.
Yeah, and then, I mean...
It doesn't work, I don't think.
So I'm going to mention John Carpenter now, as I always do with most of these things. His best films are where he focused on one thing, but immediately after Halloween, he started doing the parallel Jeopardy. So if you think of The Fog, I know I'm going off on one. Think of The Fog, there's a lighthouse, and then there's a church. Jumps between the two of them.
Don't you say.
Great film, but and then Prince of Darkness, there's a bit near the mirror, and there's a bit where the rest of the gang are all fucking around. Just concentrate on one fucking thing.
So Carol frenziedly kills this final humanoid, and then her and Jim return as dawn breaks to the aftermath
and this is
of
quite
the
good
devastation.
Well. Yeah. This is where they must have blamed the budget, because like lots of fairground on fire, bit of extras.
Yeah.
Pull the camera out. Yeah. They should have ended it there.
Yeah, you definitely get the feeling that there's been carnage and this is kind of after the carnage. And then in the hospital with Peggy giving birth with, again, the Doc, for some reason, she's, she's in the hospital overseeing the birth. Peggy's eyes have kind of come over all... I put faulty, but they're not. They've kind of come over all zombified. And then the little baby fishman does an alien and bursts through her stomach. That's it. Credits roll.
What I would say is it feels almost like from another film. Because it's all white background, you know
what I mean? Oh, yeah. It's like the end of Extra. There's a scene at the end of that.
Two different versions.
Yeah, completely white. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah, but having said that, it's quite funny and gory.
Yeah,
and quite grim in a way as well.
Yeah, it kind of pops through and says, hello.
It is what it is with this film.
Shall we review it? I'm going to let you go first this time.
No, well, it is an exploitation film. And this is what Roger Corman was great at.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things he produced are really great films. This isn't. We'll admit that. But it's by no means one of the worst films I've ever seen in terms of it. It eventually gives you what you're after, which is a load of humanoids from the deep. The sexual connotations are a bit dodgy. But if you were a teenage boy, you'd have been absolutely going, oh, loads of gore. Oh, some boobies here.
I think it definitely hit its target audience.
Yeah, it does.
He knew what he was doing, didn't he?
I always say, would I watch it again? You know, I might with this, just because it's a, just, if I was like showing someone else and going, do you want to see this absolutely mental, stupid film? Because it's a bit of fun. You know, some films are a bit grim or boring and annoying.
It is a bit of fun. The rapey elements kind of spoil it slightly because you feel almost guilty-like in it.
There's a few horror films that, when you look at it now, that, well, you could even say that about the original Evil Dead. I'm never keen on the bit.
Oh, yeah,
trees.
Yeah, the
obvious bit. Yeah. The rest of it should have left alone, but even Sam Raimi, in interviews, has admitted he didn't like it.
Slightly distanced himself from it, hasn't he?
But I just said, it's fun, it's quick. It's called fucking Humanoids from the Deep, for Christ's sake. If you're expecting a masterpiece from it, you obviously are mistaken. It's got Doug McClure in it, so again, you're expecting a certain thing. So I get a 6 out of 10. Probably quite high for me, but I quite enjoyed it.
It's quite memorable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think. And I think I'd probably watch it again. Again, it's exploitative, a bit button-pushing. I kind of get exactly what they were trying to do, and it did probably please its target audience. Some of the script and acting is woeful, but it's the same with any of these kind of films. That's why we like them, probably. The 15 minutes of the festival is really good fun. And the film's quite short, isn't it? It's about 80-something minutes, so it's really good. I give it the same six. Well, actually, I can't decide whether it's worth 3 or a 7. I was kind of mixed whether it was really terrible or really good.
It's both,
but I think it's... I don't think it's so bad it's good, but I do think it's quite entertaining. I think it is quite entertaining. So
yeah, it's not one of... Yeah, I agree. It's not so bad it's good. I think it is... I think the acting script aren't great, but the directing's all right. When they stage the actual
actually,
thing,
yeah,
the when there's action happening, it's okay. But I've heard even Bob Peters, who used to distance herself from this and go, look, someone else put those scenes in. She's gone... Look, it's a bit of fun.
Yeah, a good trashy bit of entertainment, isn't it? So, well, okay. We both give it 6. There you go. That's fairly consistent. And that is Humanoids from the Deep. Not of the Deep. I kept thinking it was of the Deep.
Give it a watch. And, you know, don't expect the best film you've ever seen. Bit of fun.
They have got awfully long arms. If any takeaway from it, they have got long arms.
Well, that is a point. How do they manage to do certain things? Well, that's not good for that.
Well, thank you very much for listening.
Do you want me to say something now? Thanks for listening. Like that twat said. If you enjoyed this or you've got any suggestions, if you're enjoying this, please subscribe.
If you like what you see.
Ciao!
We're trying to make a fish baby.